Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be gathered with you all again here this morning. I don't know if Isaac said it, but in case you were wondering, Pastor Charles is... Did you say it? No? Yes? Okay. Pastor Charles is at Muldersdrift. Lucas, his grandson, that's right, is being dedicated, and so that's why he is not here with us this morning. But it is a joy for us to turn into God's Word, and as Tim has already alluded, we find ourselves in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we'll only consider the first 8 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, this sermon finds itself at the wake of yet another pastor falling. Stephen Lawson, a good expositor and pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, finds himself in an inappropriate relationship with another woman outside of his marriage, and therefore disqualifies himself from ministry. But he was not the only one. We read as well of Tony Evans earlier this year. It was announced that he is stepping down from his ministry due to a sin that he committed years ago. What about Matt Chandler, who stepped down 2 years ago for frequent and familiar direct messages to a woman out over Instagram that were unguarded and unwise? We find ourselves in an age where we're hearing more and more of faithful men falling to sin. But what came to my mind is, what about Judas? Judas was a man who witnessed the Word in flesh. He was taught by Jesus personally, and yet he still betrays him. He rejects him for the riches of this world. What is it that causes men who know the truth, who know the Word of God, to fall? But these are names of pastors and the name of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about members? I'm sure we all have heard of somebody who was good looking spiritually. You've heard them, they have now walked away from the faith. Men and women who were faithful to the gathering. They served faithfully. They were lovely to be around. They gave themselves to the church, only to lose it all for a moment of pleasure, a moment of power, or even for possessions. What do we do when these things keep happening? What do we do when we hear of faithful people almost abandoning the gospel, as it were, for moments of pleasure in sin? Well, this morning I want to encourage us that God's Word remains true. The gospel continues to save. When a preacher falls to sin or when he denies the faith, the Word remains true. The Word of God is not invalidated by the fall of man. But the fall of man does bring to disrepute the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way of Christ is blasphemed because of them. And so again, the question is, what do we do in a world where we feel like every day another faithful man has fallen to sin? My encouragement here this morning is, hold fast to God. I've changed my title a few times. The first title was, Forget Your Sins and Remember the Lord. The second one, which made it to the bulletin, was, Be Careful Not to Forget the Lord. But that has also changed. And so the final title is, Be Careful to Listen and Do All That I Have Commanded You. Be careful to listen and do all that I being God, has commanded you. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, my heart's desire was to preach until verse 14. But it is a hot day, so I'm only going to preach till verse 8. And so hopefully I can come back and finish this off. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1 says, And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are all alive today. See, I taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear of these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. Verse 11. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. Let's just pray together, asking God to bless the preaching of His word. Dear Lord, the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so, Lord, we ask as we approach your eternal word, may your Spirit give us understanding. May the sword of the Spirit convict our hearts of sin. And God, we ask that you would show us Christ. Lord, reveal your glory by the preaching of your word until every heart in this room confesses Christ the Lord. We ask this in His name. Amen. So the first thing this morning I'd like us to consider is listen and obey the word. Listen and obey the word. You see, this book of Deuteronomy is a book that is concerned about the bond between God and His people. These were Moses' dying words, his last act before he would die, before entering the promised land. And so he would unpack in the book of Deuteronomy, he would unpack the law prescriptively, but he would also unpack the law descriptively. In this book of Deuteronomy, we learn that the Lord loves His people. God desires that His people be holy, that His people be separate from the people of the world who have rejected Him. God desires that His people serve Him. On Mount Sinai, we saw God coming down to enter into a special relationship with the nation Israel. He entered into a formal covenant relationship with them where He would give them His word on two tablets of stone. God loved His people. God redeemed His people personally by delivering them through Egypt and leading them through the wilderness by cloud at night, by cloud by day, and by fire by night. But now, as they were about to enter into the land, as God is about to fulfill His promise, Moses now comes up and he warns them. Moses comes up and he teaches them, he urges them that their prosperity in the land is dependent on them listening to the word of God. In the previous chapters, we learn that when God's people do things God's way, they win. When God's people do things God's way, they win. Read again verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. It says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. And now, O Israel, in light of what God has done in your 40-year wilderness journey, which were recorded in chapter 1 to chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, we saw God showed His faithfulness and power to the nation Israel as He kept them. He now says, listen to my words." That word "listen" there is a command. It is not a suggestion, it's a command. It's a command that the nation Israel were not just to listen to Moses now in his presence, but whenever the book of the law was being read to them, or whenever the book of the law was being read by them, they were to be attentive to it. They were to be careful to do all that is written in it. I'm sure you know the song, "When We Walk With the Lord in the light of His word." Don't leave me alone. "What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey." Chorus. "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." That really is a challenge here. Listen to the words of God that you may live. You see, we live in an age where it's called the information age. Sermons, podcasts, Theology Alive podcast, articles and books are easily accessible, that you may so easily think that you are alive in Christ because you are active in listening to the word of God. But was this not true of those who have fallen? Was this not true of Judas who heard the words of God from God Himself? Were they not present when God's word was being opened and read? Were they not faithful expositors who preached and sat under the preaching of God's word? What is it then that brings life when the word of God is heard? Well, follow with me. Verse 1, it says, "Do them." Verse 2, it says, "Keep them." Verse 4, it says, "Hold fast." Verse 5, it says, "Do them." Verse 6, it says, "Keep them and do them." Verse 13, it says, "Perform them." Verse 14, it says, "Do them." Those who live, those who will be prosperous in the land that the Lord their God has given to them, are those who faithfully obey the words of the Lord. It is those who are walking in the truth. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to his word, God's word. "I have stored up your word," God's word, "in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Friends, in the age that we live in where we love truth, I want to challenge us. It is not your articulation of theology proper that keeps you. It is not your articulation of Christology or pneumatology or eschatology that keeps you. It is not whether you speak in tongues or not that keeps you. It is not your ability to dissect and exposit the scriptures that keeps you. It is not whether you know the 5 points or whether you can clearly argue against them that keeps you. Friends, it is your obedience to God's word that keeps you. Be a hearer and a doer. Hear God's word in order to do. Your knowledge must be in order to practice. Those who hear these words and do them are blessed. Those who hear these words are cut by the sword of the Spirit. They are led by the Word. They must submit to the Word, and they must live their lives under the authority of the Word by the power of the Spirit. That, my friends, is what keeps us. Warren Wiersbe says this, I have it on the board there. He says, the Word of God must penetrate our hearts and become a part of our inner being if it is to change our lives. It was R.C. Sproul who said, you can have God's Word in your head and not your heart. But you can't have God's Word in your heart and not in your head. And so friends, you must pray that God's Word moves from your head and works in your heart and changes your life. Matthew Henry also adds, also on the board there, says, our obedience as individuals cannot merit salvation, but it is the only evidence that we are partakers of the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Considering how many temptations we have compassed with and what corrupt desires we have in our bosoms, we have great need to keep our hearts with all diligence. Someone may ask, what is this command that God has given to us? Surely we are in the New Testament age and the commandments of past have been, they are all done with. We are New Testament Christians. Well, I have just a summary here. There's more, but these summarize most of them. Love the Lord your God with your whole being. Commandment number one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Go to all the nations, and this is the command, make disciples. Another command, keep the will of the Lord for your life, which is your sanctification. Abstain from sexual immorality. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Another command. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints as some have. Another command. There are so many commands in God's word that must be present in our lives as we reflect the God whom we love. And so Moses says, when you take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you, listen to the word and do not add to it. See verse 2. It says, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Friends, verse 2 is really a sermon in itself. God's word is absolute. It is inerrant. It is final. It is authoritative, friends. God's word is sufficient for all matters of life and godliness. The law that the nation Israel received in Horeb was complete and sufficient to lead them. The tragedy of the Pharisees in Jesus' day was that they jealously guarded the scriptures, but they themselves were guilty of taking away from the word of God with their traditions. And so God's law, friends, does not need your help. The standards of man do not and cannot supplement the law of God. The legalist who adds to the commands of God can only produce a man-made religion or a man-made righteousness which is filthy rags deserving of the pits of hell. But then, choosing not to obey what is clear in Scripture is also in effect removing the Bible in your life from its high position of divine authority. And so friends, listen to the Word of God and do it, that it may be well with your soul. My second point is look back and learn. Look back and learn. You see this in verses 3 and 4. It says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did in Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. Friends, God's past faithfulness should encourage present obedience. God's past judgment should encourage present faithfulness. You see, growing up in Hillbro, we didn't really have a backyard of grass where we could go and play sports. So we generally played in the corridors of the flats because we lived in buildings. And so in our minds, the stadium was that little passageway in the building. But every neighborhood, well, at least when I was growing up, had its very own Grinch. It had that one person who hates the sound of kids having fun. That one person who hates the sound of laughter. We had one. It was a lady, an old lady, unfortunately. And so if she found you playing soccer, so the perfect place for us to play obviously was on the ground floor because there was like an open foyer where there was really nothing there. So we would love to play there. But if she found us playing soccer there, because she lived in the ground floor, she would get the maintenance man to come and chase us away, or she would come herself waving a belt chasing us away. And so we decided, look, let's not poke the bee's nest. And so we moved up to play on our floor, thinking everyone on our floor loves us. No one will have a problem with us playing there. But if the ball fell over the edge and went all the way to the ground floor, she would come out in haste, grab the ball, and she would stab it with a knife. She was really a Grinch. And so knowing how she responded in the past prompted us to respond as fast as we can, that as soon as the ball just went over the edge, we were already running down those stairs to try get to the ground floor before the ball hit the ground, which obviously is impossible, but we tried nonetheless. You see, friends, church, God calls us to remember how He has responded to sin in the past, and that should challenge us today to live a life of fearing God, seeing how He blessed those who walked faithfully to Him, how He honored their righteousness, should encourage us today to be faithful to God, seeing how those who walked before us stumbled into sin and forgot God should change our walk, that we don't fall in the same way that they did. What happened at Baal Peor? Well, the account is found in Numbers 25, and I'll just read it for us quickly here. Numbers 25, verse 1 to 3. Where the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab, these invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked herself to Baal at Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun." Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you kill those of his men who have yoked themselves to Baal of Peor." Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. Israel sinned by committing both sins of sexual immorality and spiritual immorality with the woman at Moab. Moses warned the people of Israel that if they rejected God now as they did back then, the result would be the same. Many would die in the judgment of the Lord. Why is this important today? The question this morning is, have you yoked yourself with the world? Have you yoked yourself with the gods of this age? Have you devoted yourself to the practices of the world and have neglected the Lord your God? Have you neglected the holy scriptures because you are pursuing the things of the world? Are you living in sin and rebellion against God? Or are you faithfully keeping His word? Friends, the same God who judged nation Israel then is the same God who will judge us today, friends. The wages of sin is always death. The wrath of God will be poured out on the wicked. What I found interesting in Numbers 25 is what turned away the anger of God. It was a faithful and devoted man by the name of Phinehas. In Numbers 25, verse 11, it says, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy." Our passage in verse 4 says, "But you who hold fast to the Lord your God are all alive today." There is so much application in this passage for us today. It is only those who hold fast to the Lord that will see the land that He has promised to us. There is a land that has been promised to a people who will endure to the end. There is a mansion reserved for those who will do more than call Him Lord, Lord, but live with Him as Lord of their lives. It is those who listen and obey who show the fruit of righteousness or the fruit of salvation. James says, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Verse 5, "See that I have taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it." Dear church in 2024, as you live in this land, as I always say, and I want to remind you again, this is a foreign land. There is a land that has been promised to you that we are awaiting, where we will be with the Lord forever. And so, whilst we wait, hear the words of this sermon. Whilst you wander in this wilderness, as it were, trust and obey the Lord. Like Phinehas, be jealous for His name. Be devoted and yoked to none other but God. Don't just be a great teacher of the Word, or don't just be a great student of the Word, or don't just be a faithful attender of church, but be a faithful doer of the Word. The challenge to the students at our past camp that we just went to was, the truth you believe must be the truth you live. Those who listen and obey the Lord must have their lives radically transformed. Why? Because they have been born again. They are being refined by fire. They are being carved into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so will you listen to and obey the Lord, that it may be well with your soul? The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." And so finally and briefly, my last point, light up the world with your obedience. Light up the world with your obedience. We see this in verses 6 to 8. It says, "Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, 'Surely this great nation is wise and is a wise and understanding people.'" The law was not given to the nation Israel to be a burden to them, but the law was given to the nation Israel so that the nation Israel would be distinct from the world. The law was given to them to distinguish them from all others, making them wise, making them great, but making them pleasing to a holy God. Remember Noah? Noah stood out in a dark world by his obedience to God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stood out for their obedience to God. Joseph, who like most of us today, experienced the hardships of life. He experienced family drama. He experienced trouble at work. He experienced injustice. And yet, he stood out for obedience to God. Caleb stands out for his trust in God. It says, of the account, and the spies come back. Caleb says, "Let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are well able to overcome it." He trusted in God. Joshua stands out for his obedience when he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Naomi stood out. Why? For her obedience to God. And so what about you? When it's all been said and done and your life comes to an end, what will be written about you? What will be written about Tim, Isaac, and Rick? What will be written about Ruth, Emil, and Daniel? What will be written about Joa, Erna, and Lena? What will be written about Rachel, Brenda, and Yaku? What will be written about Ricardo and Mark? Will it be said about you? And in fact, insert your name there. What will be written about you? Does the world know you for keeping and doing the word of the Lord? Is your wisdom and understanding shining forth in your office? Is your wisdom and understanding shining forth in your home? Is your wisdom and understanding shining forth on the streets? Do people marvel at the goodness of God revealed in your gratitude? Do people marvel at the goodness of our God revealed in the way that you worship, in the way that you serve Him, and in your manner of life? You see, the heroes of the faith had two things that kept them faithful. Number one is that they knew God was near and that God would answer their prayers. But number two, they knew that God's word was good. Look at verse 7 and 8. "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you?" And so, friends, going back to the heroes of the faith, God was near to Moses and the patriarchs and answered their prayers to Him. God was near to Joseph, Moses, and Joshua and answered their prayers to Him. God was near to the judges, Ruth, and King David and answered their prayers to Him. God was near to the righteous and obedient kings of Israel, and He was near to the prophets and He answered their prayers to Him. God was near to John the Baptist. God was near to the Lord Jesus Christ. God was near to the apostles. And church, God is near to us, and He will answer our prayers to Him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep His words and do them. What God is there so near to His people as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call upon Him? And so, church, to summarize this sermon, our Lord Jesus Christ has called us to keep His word. He has called us to do all that is written in it so that you could live. Do not add nor subtract from it, and He will make your way prosperous. Call to memory all that He has done in the past to punish sin, and remember all that He has done in the past to honor faithfulness and righteousness. Call to memory His goodness to all who have gone before you, and hold fast to His goodness for you today. And so as I close, I want to close with a song that we'll sing here at the end. Holy words of our faith, handed down again to this age, come to us through sacrifice. I thought it was on the board. Oh, heed the holy words of Christ, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, Oh, let the ancient words impart. Chorus. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Let's pray. And so, God, as we've heard your word being preached, dear God, we pray that your word would never lose its sweetness to our hearts and to our lips. God, I pray that our desire would forever to want to sit under the preaching of your word, but God, I pray that we wouldn't idolize that. I pray that we wouldn't idolize how much we know about you. Lord, I pray that those who think we know much, Lord, teach us to be careful lest we fall. God, I pray that we may be those who not only know your word, but Lord, help us to be faithful doers of your word and not hearers only. And so, God, we say, as Peter said, where else can we go, O Lord? For you have the words of eternal life. And so we ask you, make your glory known through all your words of life. Your words of life. Work out, Lord, our salvation in fear and trembling through our obedience to you, through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.